right. As I said, there are many things in life that we come up against, many things in this world that perhaps could cause us to fear. And the truth of the matter is that God is our refuge. If you turn in your Bibles to Psalms 46, we're going to be reading there and going through the first part of the chapter there and seeing what God can show us as far as fearing not. Just looking around at this world today, we can see that things are bad, yes. We are seeing an increase in wickedness, in immorality, terrorism, blatant attacks against the church. And pardon me for perhaps being insensitive, but should we expect anything better? And the truth is that much of the world is dead in their trespasses and sins. Why do we think that they should live like saints? And the truth is we're going to come up against hard times. And I understand that, you know, perhaps some of us may be grieving over different things that may be going on in our lives, and those are hard things. But we understand that God is our refuge. And if you'll just bear with me, I would like us to look into God's word in Psalms 46 and see what he can show us here. It almost makes me think, really, of us. It makes me think of the disciples, you know, when they had Christ here on earth and he was present with them, and they were so excited, and they almost thought that they could just sort of usher him in as king, and he would set up his reign there, and everything would be wonderful. And again, I don't mean to be insensitive, but sometimes I feel that we think that, you know, we can just have this wonderful, rosy life, and, you know, then someday God will come and take us home, and everything will be wonderful. And God is wonderful, and wonderful things will happen. But the truth is this world is going to get a whole lot worse, I believe, before God comes back. Have you ever stopped and asked, perhaps why things are the way they are? Why have we had it so easy? You know, why has God blessed Canada so much? And I mean, it is such a blessing. He gives us beautiful homes, and really, we do have things very nicely here in Canada. We have, I really do think, though, that we have it backwards. We think that, you know, a life of ease must mean that we're good Christians or something, you know, that because we have it so good, that we must be good Christians. We must be doing something right. But if you look, you know, at passages like Hebrews 12:8, that's not the case. You know, sometimes when God leaves off people and you're not seeing persecution or hard times, that's when I would start to worry. See, we think that just because we have it easy that may be a good thing, but we are not worthy, you know, are we not worthy to receive the sufferings of Christ? God didn't save us, you know, just so we could have a wonderful time of it. And I mean, God will give you a wonderful time of it, but are we not worthy to participate in the sufferings of Christ? I mean, so many of the apostles and the disciples, they were excited, so excited to be worthy to be a part of the sufferings of Christ. And all through the Gospels, you see how they were overjoyed to be part of the sufferings of Christ. And I know times are hard, and so many things can happen in our own lives individually. I'm sure we're all going through different things that aren't easy, that are really hard. And I know that perhaps I can be a bit insensitive, as I've mentioned, but, you know, am I not a soldier of the cross, a follower of a Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? There's so many men and women that have gone before us. sacrificed so much more than we could ever imagine. And here in Canada, you know, we have it so good. And it's almost that the blessing of living in Canada has almost been a curse, because it really has drawn us farther away from God in the fact that we take so much for granted. And we're when it comes down to it, we're not willing to suffer the things, you know, as a good soldier for Christ. But what a wonderful truth it is that God is our refuge. And this is what can help us today to want to and to desire to face the sufferings of Christ, you know, linked with Him. Because we can know that He is our refuge. In Psalms 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. We see here that He's presenting a terrible time. Basically, the end of the world is coming, and we see it seems like a very, very terrible time, but He says, you know what? Don't fear. Forget about that. God is our refuge. And it's so comforting for me to know that no matter what happens, and this is probably the paramount of things that could really go on in this world. I mean, it's falling apart here in the passage. The mountains are falling into the sea, and terrible things are happening. But we know that God is sovereign, and His promise is sure. We know that God has saved us. We know that His promise is sure. In Psalms 46, 2 and 3, we are painted a picture of absolute horror. We see the destruction of the world. And number one, God is our refuge. Proverbs 18, verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Psalms 46, 2 says, therefore will not we fear. We will not fear. Notice and read where it says that the God of Jacob is our refuge. We see that many different times here. In verse 7 it says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. In verse 11 it says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. In verse 1 it says, God is our refuge. Why? Because the God of Jacob is our refuge. Jacob's God led him from a life of self-sufficiency to a life of faith and trust in God. Jacob had some dreadful, fearful times in his life, but God saw him through, and He kept His promise. He kept His promise to Jacob. What amazes me is that the same promise that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He extended to us. And this is what really excites me about the scripture, and you don't really see it right away, but the promise that was extended to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is extended to us. And I'll prove it to you in Romans 4, in Romans chapter number 4. In Romans chapter number 4, in verse number 16, it says this, and I know it's speaking of Abraham in this passage about how salvation is not of works, but it's of faith. It's not of the working of the law, but it's of faith. It says there in 16, therefore, is it of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise might be sure. That's talking about the same promise that He extended to Abraham, to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to also that which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So we see here that the promise that was extended to Abraham is really a promise that was ultimately extended to us, a promise that someday we would be able to enter into that promised land, just like the Jews were so focused on attaining. First off, we need to see that God promised in Genesis 28. We see here that God promised Jacob the same thing. He promised Jacob that, hey, you know what? I'm going to make you fruitful. You're going to multiply, and your children will enter into the promised land. And he promised them land and salvation. What a great joy to know that God is our refuge. And what I see here in Psalms chapter number 46 is that God is our refuge. And I believe there it's talking about salvation. If there was ever a man that is a picture of who we are, I believe it would be Jacob. This is why when it says that the God of Jacob is our refuge, we can take comfort. Remember how in the beginning of the message, I read a verse that said that the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower, and the righteous runneth into it. I believe that God is our salvation. He is our refuge. And really, when it comes down to it, having the God of Jacob be our refuge is saying that, hey, the same promise that God gave Jacob, the same promise he's extended to us. So when we're facing all these horrible times that it mentions here in verse 1 through 3 and 4, it's talking about, you know what? You are saved. If you are born again today, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. God has extended the same promise of refuge to you. And you can have that safe refuge just like Noah in the ark. He had that refuge from the flood, from the destruction of the world. God wants to give us this refuge. And through horrible times and times that may even lie ahead, we can know that God is our refuge. And to me, there's nothing more exciting to know that God can be our refuge. God has promised us a blessing. We see here that if there was ever a man, as I said, that appeared to be as much as us as Jacob, you know, it's definitely Jacob. This is why when it says that the God of Jacob is our refuge, we can take comfort. Because Jacob lacked faith. He attempted things many times on his own to help God's plan along. He thought, okay, you know, God's promised me something. God, I know he's promised me salvation. He's promised that I would have many children, and he's given me so many promises, but maybe I can just help God along. Maybe I can just do what I can to help. But in the end, Jacob's family and him were saved. We know that what the Word of God says, but so did Jacob. It's when we have a lack of faith that we fear and falter. Really, the absence of faith is fear. And so many times, you know, I think of that song that we were singing earlier, you know, when I'm alone, you know, and afraid, we don't need the fear because we have God and He is our refuge. God had made it known that the older brother would serve the younger, meaning Jacob was promised by God the portion of the firstborn. And with no regard to God's sovereignty, Jacob tricks his brother into giving him his birthright. Why do we feel like we need to manufacture the situation? God has it in control. We don't need the fear. But sometimes we can get so anxious and think, oh, but you know, I don't know if it's going to work out. I don't know if it's going to happen. God's in control. If anybody can do it, it's God. God is in control. We don't need to manufacture the situation. And then Jacob and his mother, well, they made plans to steal away the father's blessing. God had promised us a blessing, and we don't need to pretend we're somebody else to receive them. You know, God has accepted us, and I understand, you know, we have surrendered our will, and we have, you know, abased ourselves before God. You know, God has accepted us. And oh, how long, you know, it took Jacob to know that God was his refuge. It really took a majority of his life to really come to the place to realize, hey, wait a second, God is my refuge. He had promised Jacob so long ago, early in his life, that he would enter the promised land and that eventually his family would be saved. But, I mean, it took so long, a majority of his life, before he realized, hey, wait a second, God's my refuge and he will provide. Why would we rather work than just simply trust God? Is it fear? Is it pride? Is it a lack of faith? Jacob was so content to work. It was God that said, just like Jacob, sometimes we focus on the now. Sometimes we focus on, okay, I know what God promised me then. I know that God promised me salvation and that things would work out, but what about right now? What can happen right now in my life? What can I do right now in my life? How can I make my situation better right now? And sometimes, really, that's not what God's concerned about. See, we need to understand that God, you know, allows us to go through different experiences, valleys, mountaintops, because he knows we can grow through them. And it's important to allow these things to happen. After Jacob, you know, had stolen his father's blessing, he ran away. And when that happened, you know, Jacob was fearful. Even though God said that, yes, you know, the blessing is yours, we have a tendency to get ahead of God. We have a tendency to get ahead of God, and it even makes me think of in the area of salvation, some people think, you know, well, what can I do to earn my salvation or to feel like I deserve it or something like that? The truth of the matter is we don't deserve it, and there is absolutely nothing we could do to ever deserve it. And just like Jacob's blessing that God promised, I mean, there's nothing that Jacob could have really done to deserve it. God chose Jacob. It's amazing to think that God, in his grace, provides us with salvation that is a refuge from the destruction to come. It is a refuge from the destruction to come. And once we are secure in his refuge of salvation, he gives us strength through the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3, verse 1 says, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. God gives us strength. So first of all, we see that God is our refuge, and all the different turmoil and stresses of life that we may face, even one day the destruction of the world, we can know that God is our refuge and that we don't need to fear. We do not need to fear. Secondly, we're looking at the fact that God is our strength. It says there in Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength. In Psalms 27:1, the Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Again, we're talking about fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? As a result of getting ahead of God, Jacob was afraid of his brother, and later his uncle Laban, simply because he got ahead of the game. He thought, oh, I'll help God. And when the Lord is our strength, we have nothing to fear. We have absolutely nothing to fear if we're relying on God's strength and not our own. We have nothing to fear when we're relying on God's strength. In Habakkuk 3:19, the Bible says, "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places." Do you have high places today that might seem impossible to walk on? Things that you believe God wants you to do, but you have no idea how they're going to happen, how you're going to accomplish them. The Bible says that God is our strength, and he gives us hinds' feet that we will be able to walk in those high places. A high place that God wants you to go, do you have one? Do you have something that seems impossible, that seems challenging to you? It can be anything from, again, a consistent walk with God, a consistent surrender for God, perhaps something in the ministry that you believe God wants you to do. God will give you the strength. That's why serving God is so wonderful, because we don't have to do it in our own strength. And I think it's fair enough to say that when we do it in our own strength, it fails. Or it just doesn't last. See, when we do things in God's strength, they last. When we do things in God's strength, things happen. Sometimes we see a big task that God has for us. For Jacob, it was many things. And again, for you, it might be many things. And perhaps we focus on our own strength or try to figure out how we can do it. I don't know about you, but I think about problems that come up. And I kind of like to be a problem solver. Probably a lot of guys are like that. You like to think that you can solve problems. And when problems come up, I mean, I just don't stop thinking about it. And it's something I probably struggle with. But we need to remember that God is our strength. You know, we can leave those problems with him. Bible says, you know, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. We can do that. And I mean, just such the privilege to be the child of God that we can cast our cares upon him, that we can ask for his strength. Not only just ask for his strength, but he says he is our strength. I mean, it's already there. God is our strength, and we can rely on that. Remember, God is our strength. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Bible says, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." I like that one because so often, you know, I don't have the strength. I don't know how I'm going to reach Labrador for Christ. I really don't. But I know that when I rely on God's strength and when I admit my weakness and when I say, "Hey, God, I need your help, I need your strength," he will provide. "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell upon me." Did you know we can be glad of the things that we're not good at? You know, there's a lot of things that I'm not good at. And you know, the truth is that God says that we can glory in those things, because the less we're capable of, the more God, you know, is able to do through us. And even if we think we are capable of doing things, perhaps we need to just admit that God could probably do a better job of them anyhow. Jacob was all too willing to take God's blessing by force. We put so much of our strength and effort into life and ministry, it can be hard to tell if it's any work, if it's any longer his work or ours. You know, we put so much effort into it, and I mean, you know, as far as ministry and doing things, is it God's work or is it ours? Is it his will or is it our will? You know, if we're putting so much effort into it and to make it happen and to make what we think God's promised to happen, is it any more his will? It's starting to look a little more like our will, I would say. We see in Jacob's life that meddling and conniving only left Jacob, what? Fearful and out of options. And you know what? When he was alone at the ford of was it Jabbok, I believe. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. He was alone. The Bible says, and Jacob was left alone. And you know what? That's what happens when we try to meddle, when we try to connive and make it happen. We're left alone. We're left without options. Jacob had no other option. He had Laban on one side of him and his brother on the other side, who he thought was wanting to kill him. And, you know, we're left out of options. It doesn't really look like a good path to take as far as serving God is concerned. You know, with Jacob's strength failing him, you know, Jacob was left alone. And it says that in Genesis 32:24, and Jacob was left alone. And it was here that Jacob wrestled with God all night. You know, I'm sure he was tired running from all these people and running from his troubles. And then he comes and he's left alone, and God speaks to him, and he wrestles. He begged for a blessing and wouldn't let go. And at this moment, Jacob was made, again, to be still and to know, and he knew that it was God. God wants to teach us to be still and to let go. You know, Jacob, when he was wrestling with God, he would not let go. He was holding on for dear life, and he still wanted to just receive that blessing that he knew God had for him. He eventually had to let go. God forced him to be still. This was a very pivotal point in the life of Jacob. His name was changed to Israel, and we see almost, in almost sort of an amazing way, the nation of Israel was kind of born right there. The first time we really see the name of Israel in the scriptures as far as Jacob is concerned, and I mean, it's an amazing point that when Jacob was there wrestling with God and he was left all alone and he had no other options, God was able then to change him and to really change how Jacob thought and how Jacob did things. After this, Jacob no longer had the strength to fight and scheme his way through life. Things were out of his hand. He had his hands, things were out of his hands now. And he really had to rely on the strength of God. God was so patient, so merciful with Jacob concerning his self-sufficiency and his self-will. And boy, I'm thankful that God's patient and merciful with us. Because I'll tell you, you know, you can stifle it, you can stamp it down, but that pride and self-will just constantly creeps up. And I mean, we want our way. We want to make it happen. Jacob finally realized that it was about God and not himself. He no longer kept looking at the here and now and what he could make happen, but he looked at the future. He looked at the future of Israel. We can see that. God was so patient, so merciful. God waited and allowed the very problems that Jacob himself created from his self-will in his strength to thrust him back to God. And it's a perfect way, because, I mean, we go about and we try to do things on our own, and really we just make a mess of it. Brings us to our knees, out of options, and we have no other option but to go to God and to be still and say, God, I've made a mess of things. I try to do things on my own, and you know, we've tried to do things, and they just seem to fail. But when we come to God and come back to God and realize, you know what, God gave his promise and he wants to fulfill it, maybe we should rely on his strength. God's will is always accomplished. It's up to us on which road we're going to take to get there. God, you know, God's will always be accomplished. It just depends on us how we want to get there. If we knew that God is our refuge, you know, let's make him our strength too. God is our refuge. We know we are secure in our salvation. I believe, pretty sure everybody here today knows Christ as their Savior. We know that we have a refuge. We know that we're secure in that. Let's make him our strength too. Let's make God our strength. The Bible says in Psalms 28, verse 7, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him." With my song, I will praise him. Number three, I'd like us to look at the fact that God is our help. God is our help. We'll look there in Psalms 46. It says here that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time or in trouble, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. If you could as well turn over real quick to Psalms 139, Psalms 139, and verse number 7. All right, it says there, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea," we know that God is there. And what's amazing is that God will never leave us. God will never leave us or forsake us, the Bible says. Later in Jacob's life, we see that it was really falling apart. Things he worked so hard for were being lost. And things were happening that were completely out of his control. For instance, he had to leave Shechem because of what his sons had done. He didn't have any control in that necessarily. His favorite son Joseph was said to be dead. His favorite wife Rachel had died giving birth to Benjamin. And now all the wealth was being wasted away in a time of famine. When we get to that point in Jacob's life where, you know, there was a famine on and things were bad. He was losing everything. I mean, sometimes I think we have it bad, but I mean, he lost his wife, he lost his son. Now he's losing everything he owned. Even after all of his loss, God required one more thing of him. The last thing that Jacob couldn't bear to let go was Jacob. In Genesis 42:36, the Bible says, "And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me." You know, Jacob was saying, everything's just against me. Everything is going wrong, and I'm sure we've all felt like that before. Everything is against me. It says in the next verse, 37, it says, "And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again." In verse 38, it says, "And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." Only when everything was completely out of Jacob's hands was Jacob finally blessed. We saw back when Jacob was left alone and wrestling with God that things were definitely out of his hands. He had no more options. But finally, at the end of his life here, we see that truly Jacob was left alone. He had nothing else. You see that when we trust God, we are placing our cares on him. When everything is finally out of our hands, you know, that's when God can really start to bless. The question is, are we going to do it voluntarily? Or is God going to have to perhaps manufacture the circumstances in our life? Bottom line is, our trust calls him sovereign, and our fear says he's not. Do we believe in a sovereign God? Do we believe that his will is good and perfect? Our trust calls him sovereign. Our fear says he's not. When we know that God was with Jacob, we know that he promised Jacob. We know that he was going to fulfill this promise in Jacob's life. We believe that God has saved us from our sins. We know that we are saved from wrath through him, the Bible says. Then we need to believe it. We need to believe that he is our refuge. We need to understand that he is our strength, and that we need to know that we don't need to fear. We have no need of fear. We need to remember that he is a present time. He is a present help, the Bible says, in time of trouble. Here at the end of Jacob's life, it was a time of trouble. Okay, he had lost everything. Pretty much everything that he cared about was gone. But the Bible says that God is a present help in the time of trouble. We need to be, you know, we need to be like the man in Mark chapter number 9. Can we turn there real quick? Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 24, it says this. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And oh, isn't it true, the times that, you know, we struggle even with our belief in God. We struggle that, you know, can he actually do it? Can he actually do what he said he would do? Yes, yes, he can. And this man here in Mark says that, Lord, please help mine unbelief. And it's such a blessing, you know, that we can go to God and ask him anything. We can even ask him to help us with our unbelief. And to me, that is just so amazing to know that God can even help us with our unbelief. It's up to us to trust that God has a plan and to know that he is sovereign. Nothing else but to know that God is sovereign. His will be performed. There is no way that it cannot be performed. God's will happen. Because in the end, we know that God meant it all for good. Remember how the Bible says that, you know, perhaps Satan meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, in the story of how Joseph was sent into slavery, and it was a really terrible time, and Jacob, his father, was worried and thought he had died. You know, at the end of it all, when salvation really came to Israel and his family, the future nation of Israel, we understand that after all that turmoil and troubling times, at the end of it, God says that he meant it for good. What it comes down to it is, are we willing to trust God? Are we willing to have faith? Are we willing to rest in the fact that he is our refuge, he is our strength, he is our help in time of trouble? We need to remember that God fulfilled every bit of his promise. You know, God has promised us salvation. He has told us many times in the scriptures that he is our salvation. He is our rock. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. God wants to help us. He wants to help us through life. We need to remember that God is our refuge, God is our strength, and God is our help. And through the scripture here, we see that you know, there can be terrible times, there can be horrid times. But I'll tell you, the best thing to remember is that in the end of it all, God really does mean it for good. And we can choose to trust him. We can choose, you know, which way we take to get to God's promise, God's final will for our lives. But in the end, God has promised to save us, and he will. God gives us strength, and He will. And God is our help when things seem hopeless and like we don't know what's going to happen, like we don't know what we're going to do. God is our help. And He is a very present help in time of need. Let's pray.